All right. Well, I'm back. I guess I sort of lied. Not that you probably care. But I actually just waited until it was all checked out. I did find cough drops, so that's cool. You can already hear my voice going growly. Turns out the cough drop, like, I found the cold section, you know, the stuff, the section that has medicine for if you have a cold. I found that. It wasn't there. No, it was, if I had, like, just gone parallel to the, just go down the aisle and then had kept going, that's where it was. I had to ask somebody. And then they did direct me in the right directions. That was nice. Oh, I also got water. So that's cool. Cooliosis. So there's some water. And then I will have a cough drop. Sure. I guess I might talk like a little funny. Maybe. It's just like having a thing in my mouth. I don't know. Oh, it tastes funny. It's lemon. Huh. Wow. Weird. Okay. Oh, that's so strong. But yeah, so, patented Jean-Luc advice. If you ever have a cold and it makes your throat dry, and drinking water doesn't work, then try cough drops. Aren't you so glad that you listen to this podcast? I should have really brought a flashlight. I forgot to do that. Whoops. Yeah. Trying to put a glove on while still holding the bag with the hand that the glove needs to go on. Doesn't work so well. And there we go. Awesome. I got gloves. So that's cool. Old man, it's hard to both suck on a cough drop and talk at the same time. I remember doing it at work, because I had to, you know, help customers and stuff. So I had to, like, try and hide it, kind of like you hide gum, but it's not quite as flexible. It's annoying. Even when it's small, you know? Really, this whole podcast is just atmosphere, you know? If you ever want to hear the nice sounds of a city at night and a gas line that makes lots of noise, yeah. If you ever want to hear that, you know which podcast to come to. But, oh, and another one, another gas line thing. I assume it's not leaking because it's been doing that, making that noise for years. So I would assume someone would notice if it was leaking. But, you know, who knows? I don't actually know where I'm going because I don't quite want to go home. But I don't want to go not home either. You know? I guess I'll just take a really roundabout way home. That seems fine.
So, anyway, this...
You know, it's weird. I think I'm actually allergic to cigarette smoke. Because, like, not only does it smell bad, but anytime I breathe it, I get a, how do you say, asthmatic? Like, it's not bad, but it's certainly noticeable. Same reason I'm supposed to, should have remembered to bring my inhaler, but I didn't do that. Although I seem to be fine, so what do I know? But yeah, I can tell if my brother's been smoking because I just can't breathe as well. Ugh. Jean-Luc's brother. Warning, may cause shortness of breath, irritability, and irritation. Can't really think of much else on the spot. Why does it be like a long list of things? It's like what you hear at the end of a commercial for some medicine. But that's all I got. Shortness of breath and irritation. That's the word, irritation. Oh, and loss of random valuable objects. May happen, may or may not happen. I probably shouldn't talk too much about my brother. That's a topic I'm gonna avoid. Also, I don't think I've ever walked on this side of this street before, which is really weird to think about. I've never done that, that I know of. I don't know. If I have, I don't remember it. Also, I was expecting to drink this whole water bottle, but I got like one gulp of it and then it stopped. So I guess that's how thirsty I was. Huh. Wonder if it's bad to just constantly have cough drops. Because I'm thinking, this might actually help on walks in general. But I don't know if there's some, like, bad side effect of continuous use of cough drops. I don't know, you know? They're kind of sweet, so they make my teeth dirty. That's annoying. I got nothing to say. You people, you gotta post comments. Okay? Like, just about anything. Like, if I were to draw a range between extremely insightful topic and conversation-inducing thing and mashing on your keyboard, everything that was like just above mashing on your keyboard, like if you just mash on your keyboard, that's like 5 seconds worth of conversation for me. Like, all I can say about that is, oh man, you're mastering your keyboard. And maybe I can, like, try and pronounce it. That's about it, you know? But past that, it's pretty good, you know? But especially stuff that can spin me on a topic. Ask open-ended questions. I should say that at the beginning for people who don't listen through the whole thing. Wasn't I gonna like split it up or something? Maybe I'll split this one up. It's already kind of split. Could be the dramatic thing of like, oh man, oh, what's he was gonna ask the person about cough drops, what's gonna happen? Oh man, oh! Very, very, very dramatic. Best cliffhanger ever. But, you know, should walk somewhere I haven't walked before, but I'm also scared of, like, getting lost. I feel like I've been over this before, you know? I gotta get sort of lost to go walk places. So, I guess that's the game plan. But I do want to go places that are lighted, since I don't have a light on me. So there's that. Also, that car felt like it was louder than the others while not being a car. You know? Maybe I'm going crazy, but that's what it seemed like. Man, I can already feel my teeth just, like, not being smooth anymore. It's annoying. There's probably unsweetened cough drops, but they probably taste absolutely horrible. Maybe I should do that. I don't know. I'll make a note for myself. By which I, of course, mean send an email to myself. Oh, I know what I had to talk about. I kind of lost my trust in Gmail. Like, how do I put it? Certainly, I still trust Gmail. But for email, on which so many things are based, oh my god. You know, like, access to every single account I own ever. I kind of have to have a lot of trust. And so it's sort of crossed that very, very high line. So the thing is, I want to do it myself, right? But, yeah. I don't know who to trust. So, like, especially just domain registrars. The people who you buy domains from. You know, if I'm going to do my own email, I'm going to do it on my own domain. So the thing is, if anyone steals that domain, they also steal all emails going to that domain. Hence, problem. So, two-factor authentication isn't enough, because that's not really where my trust feels to lie. And of course, there's the interesting conundrum that most domain registrars ask for your email. I want to register with you and then use you for my email. And so I kind of need to make a game plan. I want to have like three separate email addresses on three separate domains, registered with three different registrars, using three different servers. And if, you know, I'll just sort of round robin through, picking whenever something needs my email for a password recovery or whatever. And if something ever asks for a secondary email, awesome, I can put another one on. And yeah. The thing is, I both do and don't want to serve, to have the server at my house. Because the thing is, if like my ISP goes evil, the thing is, email is not encrypted at all. There is what's called StartCLS, but a server doesn't have to support that. And so basically, even if your email server supports that, which is a secure way of transferring email, someone in the middle, like the ISP, who wants to be evil, they can just replace your server with a server that's not secure, and then, too bad, you're dead, you're done for. It's just, you know? So I really wish there was a system that, where you could just stick the key signature in the DNS record for email server. You can do that for a web server, but not for email servers, that I know of, at least. So that's frustrating. There is a SPF, which basically dictates who's allowed to send email as you. So then when someone receives an email that claims to be from you, they check the SPF record for your domain and see if it came from someone who's allowed to send emails to you. That's the basic summary. But at least that I know of, there's no way in SPF to say strict secure connections only, you know? There's no way to do that, unfortunately. It is annoying. I'm gonna drink some more water, that's why I'm standing in one spot. Man, that like cough trap, whatever. I felt like I made my whole mouth more sensitive. My whole mouth was like freezing as it drank water right there. That was weird. Anyway. But yeah, the whole thing's just goddamn broken. That's, but everything's just so insecure. Everything's based on email, right? So I guess if emails could be made secure, then we'd be good. And it hasn't happened so far. I wish I could propose that. I feel like that'd be a really simple protocol to just say, only connect securely to my mail server and make sure it has this certificate. Simple as that. But apparently not. Like that, you know, it's not a complicated protocol. It's a very simple protocol. I don't know, maybe I can do that. Like, apparently there's RFCs are submitted by people. So if I can figure out how an RFC is formatted and all that stuff, then maybe I'll just submit one of those. And propose a method. I mean, it's not too difficult, right? You just, I don't know if it'd be modification of or in addition to SPF. Probably both, actually. Because there's sending and then there's receiving. So maybe SPF could have an option for, instead of allow these IP addresses, instead it's allow this certificate signature. That'd be cool. And then, of course, force SSL. Do not allow it if it's not SSL. And of course, the SSL system itself is broken, but it's better than nothing. If you want to read more into that, there's a talk by Moxie Marlin Spike. He's a guy who's really into security. He's a prominent name in the computer security arena. He did a talk at DEF CON about just how horrible the whole system is. I can give you a rough description of how it works and then why it's horrible. Hey, something to talk about. Great. So it's called certificate authorities. Basically, the idea is there's these certain people, certificate authorities, certain companies, sorry, you know, and their whole job is to give out certificates saying this is who this person is and verifying that that's who the person is, basically. Rough overview. My throat's still dry. I'm not sure if I should have another cough drop or more water. Why are these cars so goddamn loud? Jeez. Anyway, how long have I been out here? I think it came out like 1930. I can't remember. If so, I've only been out here an hour. I didn't think to even look at the time, length of the recording for the first recording. It was probably about 45 minutes, but I don't know. And I completely forget when exactly I left. But anyway. So, I'm trying to remember if I've explained SSL before. Ah, I sort of did. You know, who knows if anyone was listening, but, basically, through magic, also known as math, you can have a certain kind of awesome cryptography, okay? Where you have two pieces of a key. One of them's the private key, and the other is the public key, and they're intrinsically linked. And the magic, which of course is just me shortening, I'm not going to explain it because it's way too complicated. And here's just a rough overview of how it works. I don't know the word for it. Anyway, So what you can do is, it's called a public key because you can give it out freely. You actually want to give it out. Give it to as many people as possible. Say, here's my public key. And you keep your private key private. Hence the names. What a surprise. And so, sorry, burping. what happens is that other people can encrypt a message with your public key. And then that message cannot be decrypted with the public key. It can only be decrypted with your private key. So then they can encrypt it with your public key and just broadcast it to everybody, and nobody can read it except you. And of course, if they do the same thing, if they share their public key with you, you can then send a message back, encrypt it with their public key, send it out, only they can read it. Second thing you can do is that with your private key, you can sign a message, and just to be clear, in the literal sense, this means appending an extra bit of data that is your quote-unquote signature. And this is not the same for every message. This is different per message. And the magic here is that someone with your public key can verify that it was signed by your private key without having the private key. So that way, unless your private key has been leaked, unless you accidentally shared it, they know it was signed by you. Because of this extra bit of data, they can verify it. That's the other piece of magic. So we have encryption, decryption, and we have signing. So here's the thing. If you want regular web traffic, HTTP websites to be secure, what you can do is you connect to a website and you send them your public key, and then they send you their public key, and now you can encrypt your communications and send communications to each other, right? It's great. Except not. See, the problem is that it's vulnerable to what's called a man-in-the-middle attack. So, if there's somebody in the middle who can stop a communication and send something else instead, they can stop the message that is the public key and replace it with their own public key. And then they can intercept all the traffic that's going in between. So this is bad. It's very, very bad. And the main problem here is that you can't verify that the server's certificate, that the public key you got is really the server's public key and not some man in the middle's public key. So, to solve this, we have what's called the certificate authorities system. So, certificates is basically a wrapper around a public key that includes some extra information. It includes, meant to identify someone or something, so it includes like name of the organization, location, etc., etc. I don't know why I said et cetera twice. Would have been perfectly fine to say it once. Anyway. So yeah. I do that. And so what happens is that browsers ship with what's called root certificates. So these are certificates from companies that have hopefully proved to be trustworthy. And then what happens is that those companies sign your certificate to verify that it's authentic. So now the browser has this big list of public keys that's verified good public keys from trustworthy people, hopefully, in theory. And so then when you connect to a website, the website sends back what's called a certificate chain. And so then that includes the website's certificate and the website's public key. But then that whole certificate is also signed by the root certificate. And so it includes both their certificate and the signature. And so then you, or in this case the browser, can verify that that signature really did come from that company. And therefore, hopefully, is genuine. Now, in practice, there's a little bit more complication in that it can actually be a chain of multiple certificates. So when you have a certificate that can authenticate anybody anytime, you kind of want to protect it. And having it just sort of out in the open, available, is this a great idea? So instead, what they do is they sign sub-certificates. And they say, okay, this certificate is allowed to sign other certificates. And, yeah. Then your browser can verify the entire chain. So then the root certificate signs a sub-certificate, which then signs the website certificate. And then your browser can verify all of the signatures are genuine. And that hopefully means they're from genuine, trustworthy people. Jaywalking. If no one sees you do it, does it count as jaywalking? Ah, nice smell of cigarette smoke. I love that in the morning. It's my favorite morning smell. Cigarette smoke. Ah. Anyway. Oh, so, problems with the certificate authority system. There are, I believe, at least 300 root certificates now. Which is, it's getting kind of crazy. Just a little bit crazy. And you can buy your own certificate that allows signing other certificates for like $10,000 or something. Although I'm not sure if that's true, but that's what the guy said in his talk at one point. But also there's the real problem is that, you know, we want to make sure these companies that have root certificates are trustworthy. And remember, there's sort of two parts to the trust. You have to trust that they're honest. You know, they have good intentions. And you have to also trust that they do security well. You know. So you can trust somebody and that you trust they have good intentions, but they're a babbling idiot and, you know, you wouldn't trust them with a pencil. Sort of thing, because they might stab themselves. Accidentally. So, two prongs to trust there, okay? And so there have been companies that accidentally let their private key public on just publicly accessible directory listing on their site. All right? So now anybody can just grab that certificate and start signing away. So that's bad, right? That's very, very bad. But the problem is, the company that happened to is still in business. That shouldn't happen, okay? And the reason it happens is because it was like, what, I think it was Komodo. It was one of the top three signing companies. One of the top three certificate authorities. And so what that meant was that if browsers now decided, and it would be, you know, very prudent to decide this, that this certificate authority was no longer trustworthy because they do security horribly, which is completely reasonable. The problem is, now all their users would start complaining, hey, all these sites aren't working. Because a third of the sites use Komodo SSL. So, you're kind of stuck. You're locked in to using this certain system. And it's not so great. Sorry, you're not locked into the system. If you're using the system, you're locked in to the root certificate authorities, because if you remove somebody from the list, sites stop working. And so some smaller authorities have been removed. But there's been plenty of big mess-ups that go by, and the company, you know, takes a few points, takes a hit to their stock, and then goes back to normal. That's it. Nothing else. When really what should happen, if you accidentally release your fruit certificate, okay, you should go out of business because you failed. You failed so hard. Oh my God. And there's also, I'm sort of just regurgitating his talk, or what I remember of it. If you remind me, I can find it and link it in the post, but remember, that's the if you remind me, because pretty much everything I talk about just gets completely erased from my mind the minute I sit down for some reason. So, sorry about that. Just kind of remind me. But, there have been bugs, problems with browsers' implementations of SSL. For example, they didn't properly process null bytes. So null characters is just a special type of character that basically means zero? Oh man, this is complicated. But programs internally often use what are called null terminated strings. So instead of trying to store the length of the string, instead it just stores the string and then ends it with a null. Because otherwise, you don't know when the string ends and when some other string starts. I know it's kind of confusing, but that's just how it works. So null terminated strings. But certificates, specifically the ones I'm talking about, I believe it's X509 or whatever, those do not use null terminated strings. Those use length strings. And so what that means is that you cannot convert from, I believe it's called a Pascal string because it's what Pascal uses. So a Pascal string has length at the beginning and then the string. Null terminated has the string and then the null character. So a Pascal string can hold any character. Null terminated can hold any character except null, because obviously it reads up until it hits a null. So if you put a null in the string, then it thinks that's the end of the string even though it isn't. So null terminated strings cannot hold nulls. So what this guy did, Moxie Marlinspike, is he figured out that I believe Firefox and some other browser both simply removed nulls from the string. And this is the important string that is the name of the website string. And however, registrars now were completely automated. So it used to be, you know, way back when, if you wanted to get an SSL certificate, you had to like prove that you were really who you said you were and that you really meant it, all that fun stuff. It was very difficult to get an SSL certificate. And nowadays, all you have to do is just be able to receive an email. That's it. And there's goods and bads about that. So the thing is, he found automated systems where if he put in a null byte, then they would just treat that as the end of the string, but would include the full string, including the null byte, in the certificate. So what that meant was that he could register a certificate for sitekey.ba null uncofamerica.com. So he creates a certificate with his public key, for which he has the private key. And then he goes ahead and sends that over to the certificate authority. Certificate authority reads it wrong because of the null character, reads it as sitekey.ba, and says, okay, verify that he really does own sitekey.ba, which he does. And then it signs that certificate. Then he uses this now signed legitimate certificate and presents that to the browser. Now the browser reads it. It sees sitekey.ba null uncofamerica.com. And it removes the null instead of treating it as the end of the string. This is inconsistent between the two. Really, both of them should have just rejected it as invalid, but neither the certificate authority nor the browser did that. So because of this, the browser treats it as a certificate for sitekey.bankofamerica.com. So now this guy has successfully impersonated Bank of America. And then there was an even worse bug, which came earlier. So it had already been fixed by the time he was doing this talk. I'd actually given a previous talk on it. But one of the most major bugs was browsers failed to check what was called basic constraints, and which was just one of the fields, one of the things part of this, that was part of the certificate. And what basic constraints was, that is how you would differentiate between a certificate authority certificate and a site certificate. So the main difference here is that a certificate authority can sign other certificates, whereas a site obviously can't. That'd be bad if they could. But browsers didn't check that. So what that meant was that you could get a completely legitimate certificate with no trickery at all for a site you completely own, and then use that certificate to sign other certificates for any domain you wanted. This is completely defeated. The SSL system is effectively moot at this point. it was just crazy. Anyway. And then, this is a while ago, back when security reporting wasn't as good. Basically what that meant was, he gets in contact with somebody and says, hey, there's this really bad bug in your software. And they basically reply to him back and say, ah, whatever. Doesn't matter. You know. So the only way he gets their attention is by actually making this piece of software to actively exploit this bug. And then, oh hey, what do you know, they start paying attention when people start using that to steal people's information. Man, I should really go to DEF CON this year. I think it's in August. Man, it's like far away, isn't it? It might be on the other side of the country. I can't remember. But it'd be really cool to go. Can't really use my phone. Basically, if you go to DEF CON, you can sort of just assume everybody's going to try their best to hack you. You know. But the thing is, most of them are completely, you know, honest people, you know. Basically, they'll try and hack into their own hotel door, and then once they figure it out, you know, they won't actually use it. Most of them. And then, of course, there's the illegal people who will use it. But the thing is, really, the only way to defend against this stuff is to know about it. And so, sort of, to defend your own system, you have to break your own system. You have to try to break your own system. Break the security. And then, if you can't break it, well, then you're probably good. But that's the thing, is that computers are so complex. that everything has security vulnerabilities that just haven't been discovered yet, or the person who did discover it just hasn't told anybody. I like security. Wish I could get more involved in it. I don't know. I cracked my neighbor's WAP password at one point. That was fun. Never actually used it, but... By the way, just so you know, WEP for wireless encryption is so broken it's effectively pointless. So just either open network that's free to access or WPA. WEP is like if you had a lock on your door and then hung the key under the lock. That's probably the best way to describe it. It's not too secure. You know what? I was gonna go get fast food, but that's a bad idea. I'm gonna go home now. And just drink Smilent. Which means it's going to end soon, but not that soon. But soon, but you know. This is the hill that I'm going to walk up super slowly on because I'm tired. But I'm walking backwards to like... I swear walking backwards takes less energy. Can someone confirm or deconfirm that whether or not walking up a steep hill backwards versus forwards is better or worse? That'd be interesting to know. I can't really figure it out in my head. Just doing it now, it feels like going forwards takes more energy, but also when I'm going forwards, I'm taking bigger steps. But even taking the same length steps, it still feels like going backwards, like, I don't know, like it's just more like falling backwards and less moving. I don't know. It's really weird. Makes absolutely no sense, too. I mean, obviously it's using different muscles. So I'm sure that affects things. I don't know. But I ran out of things to talk about again. Oh, actually, I finally found a fucking face for Snow. She's just sort of been faceless for forever. Right now, you know, not really faceless, but just constantly changing. Finally just happened to see a face online. I was like, yeah, I like that face. She liked it too. So now that's her face. Slightly different. She's got neon green eyes. Because screw reality, that's why. It's got like white hair, but like, how do I, like, cool white hair, not old person hair, if that makes sense. She's posing for me so I can look. But I'm not very good at describing people. Like, I swear, one of my fears is that, like, I'll be questioned by the police at one point, and they'll be like, what did the person look like? I'll be like, they looked sort of skinny. And that would be, like, the complete, all of my description. I don't know. But yeah, so that's cool. Doesn't really have a body. It was just the head that I saw online. So that's still sort of random, smoothing out, you know. That. It's really weird, like, I'm constantly thinking about, oh, what would happen if? You know, that's just a normal thing humans do, I assume. But it's my imagination where I imagine what would happen if. And so then what happens is I'll be told the forcing, and then I'll think about, oh, wouldn't it be interesting if this happened? And then it's sort of like, I only have one imagination, so it happens then, instead of me, like, imagining me imagining it. And so then it's like, wait, did that happen? Did the table just shrink 3 times, you know, shrink to a third its size? I thought about it happening. It's just like, and I was trying to figure out whether I wanted it to happen by imagining what would happen if it shrank 3 times the size. But then, stuff like that. It's frustrating. And then I always get distracted. I don't even know how. But I will just be forcing 1 minute, and the next minute, I'm thinking about something completely different. I just doesn't even, I don't know, it's annoying. Well, I'm almost home. So I'm supposed to say, well, I'm almost at my destination. There we go. So, any criticisms? Leave that in the comments. Any thoughts? Leave that in the comments. Any questions? Leave that in the comments. Any thought-provoking questions, leave those in the comments, especially. If none of those apply to you, okay, stop what you're doing. Whatever you were doing, get on a computer if you're not already on one. Okay, go to the thread and post a comment right now. Just stop doing that, okay? Go to the thread. Post a comment. You got me? You got me, bro? All right, cool. Cooliosis. Ah. I will see you all next episode. Hopefully nothing broke. Can always hope.